Chapter 2. Just Showing Up for Speaking. Every year, many IELTS test takers walk into the speaking exam cold, and this can be a very uncomfortable situation for them and the examiner. Here are some areas where candidates could have been more informed. Some test takers do not do their homework and figure they can just walk into the exam and wing it. Then they're surprised when the examiner turns on a digital recorder, a timer, and then begins to time and record the exam. Look, guys, the IELTS speaking exam is very precise, and it follows strict procedures. I'm going to give you a tip now, and it's not necessarily a hack, but it's going to help you immeasurably on the day of the speaking test. Show up early with the correct ID. Now, this may seem like basic, straightforward information, but there are always a few test takers who show up late, which means they're stressed out and even more nervous than they need to be. Allow yourself some margin for traffic, parking, or any other obstacles that may induce added stress right before your exam. There's an expression that you may do well to memorize. If you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. Second, ensure that you bring the ID that you used for the registration process. Yes, it seems strange that this actually needs to be mentioned, but believe it or not, some test takers have been refused admittance to the exam since they did not bring the ID that was used to register for IELTS. Failure to bring the correct form of ID means you cannot take the exam, and you'll need to reschedule for another test date. Most test takers tend to register with their passport. Make sure that your identification of choice is up to date and will not expire by the time you take the exam. Now, let's hit the 10 speaking hacks. Speaking hack 1. Know the three sections and their time limits. The speaking exam is 11 to 14 minutes in total. It should not be less than 11 minutes and cannot exceed 14 minutes by more than 5 seconds. If you're cut off by the examiner, it's because you're being guided to the next section of the exam or the test has reached the 14-minute point. The examiner is not trying to be rude, but has strict regulations to follow and must ensure that these rules are being adhered to. Each of the three sections must be a certain length of time. So, there are three sections to the speaking exam. Let's look at them in greater detail. Section 1, Introductory Questions. For the introductory section, or Part 1, the examiner will ask basic questions designed to put you at ease, since these questions don't involve too much thought before providing a response. You'll be asked simple questions, such as where you work or what subjects you study in school. You'll also be asked general questions about interests, travel, or entertainment. Section 2 is the long turn. In Part 2, usually referred to as the long turn, you must provide a monologue and speak on a provided topic for 1 to 2 minutes. Some test takers don't realize that they have 1 minute to prepare before trying to speak for up to 2 minutes. Although the examiner really wants the test taker to succeed, he or she may only sit and watch the timer as dead air is being recorded for 2 minutes. If the test taker dries up or stops speaking during the long turn, the examiner should ask the candidate if he or she can provide more information about the topic. And finally, we have Section 3, which is the dialogue. Part 3 is a dialogue that builds on the long-term topic, and the test taker will be required to respond to both scripted and unscripted questions by the speaking examiner. Keep in mind that the questions will become increasingly more difficult. Here, the examiner will ask you more complex questions that are related to people in general. As discussed, your examiner must time the entire exam. It can't exceed 14 minutes by more than 5 seconds. Yes, that's how exact the speaking test is. What this means is that the examiner cannot exceed 5 minutes for Part 1, 4 minutes for Part 2, and 5 minutes for Part 3. The examiner will navigate you through the exam and may need to cut you off in order to stay within this time frame. Pay attention to the examiner as he or she will be frequently looking at the timer to see how much time is remaining for that particular section of the test. Speaking hack 2. Know you're being recorded right up until the time you leave the test room. examiners are not permitted to provide test results immediately after the exam or give any hints to how well you performed. For this reason, an audio recording should not stop until the test taker vacates the test room. Many test takers attempt to obtain their speaking results right after the exam, asking the examiner how they performed. But the examiner is not permitted to disclose this information, and he or she is protected by allowing the recording to continue until you exit the exam room. In other words, both you and the examiner are caught on tape as a procedure, but also as evidence. Keep in mind that the audio recordings are listened to afterwards for two reasons. First, to ensure that the mark awarded is in fact accurate. Each exam is listened to by the examiner, as well as a second examiner or trainer, to confirm the mark is accurate. Second, to ensure that the examiner has administered the exam as per the IELTS protocol and followed the script accurately. Also bear in mind that the examiners are regularly monitored, since the IELTS exam is held to a rigid international standard. This means that there are random inspections on examiners to ensure that the quality of the exams is held to the IELTS standards no matter where you may take your test. So whether you take your exam in Dubai, Vancouver, or Berlin, the standards and procedure should be identical. Speaking Hack 3. The exam is always scripted and read by the examiner. Many test takers do not know that the examiner is reading nearly all of the questions word for word. The examiner is provided with a script of questions and must follow it exactly. Examiners can't provide their own questions for Part 1 or Part 2 of the exam. It's not until Part 3 that he or she should provide unscripted questions in addition to the scripted ones. Remember, Part 3 is a dialogue which builds on the Part 2 topic. This means even the examiners can't wing it and are reading questions exactly as they appear on paper. Moreover, they can only repeat a question once. This means that if you fail to answer the question or didn't understand it a second time, the examiner will have to move on to the next question and can't explain why. Remember, Parts 1 and 2 are completely scripted, so the examiner can't answer any questions you have. In Part 3, the examiner actually must provide extra questions related to the ones already provided, adding to the conversational dynamic of this section. Speaking Hack 4. Thank you means stop talking. Make sure you understand the verbal cues and body language of the examiner. For instance, if you're a chatterbox and you love to talk and you just keep blabbing on, the examiner has every right to shut you down in order to move on to the next question, since the exam has a rigid time limit. Please do yourself a favor and avoid being one of those test takers who rambles on and on. Rather, acknowledge when the examiner is gently coaxing you to stop talking. On the other hand, you might be shy or nervous, and you may only respond with short responses such as yes or no. Try to remember that this is a speaking exam and that you need to talk in order for you to be evaluated on your level of speech. If you're shy, you should really take the time to practice with someone several times so that you'll feel much more comfortable. But if you're a motor mouth, try to dial it down a little bit and watch for body language indicating time has nearly expired. Speaking Hack 5. Avoid repetition, or ah, and long pauses. Okay, guys, repetition is costly, and it's really best to avoid this habit. Let's see how this sounds. I was in the coffee shop, and the barista was like really rude, and then I was like, fine, two can play this game. Remember, guys, avoid depending on like. Let's move on to another example using actually. Actually, I do enjoy movies. Actually, horror movies. One of my dreams is to actually be the hero in a movie. And finally, let's look at someone who depends on using the word so. So I'm interested in health and fitness, so I work out 5 or 6 days a week. So this is really important to me, and it's a lifestyle choice. Okay, guys, the same idea applies when it comes to the habit of relying on or ah when trying to find the right words before speaking. How might this sound? Here's an example. The favorite room in my house is my bedroom. This is because I can play video games there, and I can listen to music and watch movies. Okay, test takers should be able to converse without pauses, having a free flow of speech. Have you ever watched an interview on TV or on the internet and felt it was really uncomfortable because the interviewee was saying or ah the entire time? Many native speakers also find this to be problematic. The only way to avoid it is to be conscious of the way you speak and work on correcting it. For this reason, some people join public speaking courses, as this will improve your skills of speaking in front of people without relying on these crutches. And finally, guys, remember, long pauses may cause you to drop a band. Make sure that you can speak without gaps so that there is a flow to what you're saying and it is not choppy. The only way you can speak without choppiness is practice, practice, practice. If you've been working on your vocabulary, chances are you'll do less brain searching, trying to find the word you need and want to say. Equally problematic to long pauses is relying on or ah. Speaking hack 6, the truth will set you free. Should you tell the truth or just lie? Keep in mind, guys, that the speaking examiner doesn't really care if you're honest or lie for parts 1, 2, and 3. However, it's strongly advised to speak honestly for each section. Could you lie about every question you're being asked? Absolutely, as no one's going to be verifying to see if you're telling the truth. There are no IELTS police who will verify with your mom what you discussed in the exam. Remember, you're being assessed solely on your level of speech. You're not being evaluated on your opinions or your beliefs. However, it's going to be much easier speaking about what you do know rather than what you don't, as you won't have to worry about time coming up with a fake response. Speaking hack 7, avoid scripted responses. Be careful of this, since examiners look for any memorized responses. And if you keep repeating the same expressions or connectors, it's going to be detected. Some test takers attempt to use scripted responses for a topic that's not even related to what they've memorized. The result is an inappropriate response that will cause the candidate to drop a band. Steer clear of memorized responses so that you can give an authentic and appropriate response. This is not much different than copying the writing prompt in the writing section of the exam, which we'll cover in Chapter 4. Speaking Hack 8. Parts 2 and 3 are always connected. The long turn, or Part 2, is always related to the dialogue, or what's known as Part 3 of the speaking test. This means that the prompt you've been assigned will be used to culminate or end the exam. Part 3 is comprised of 2 question sets. The examiner will move through the sets from the easier set to the more difficult set. Once again, the questions are scripted, but for Part 3, the examiner is required to add additional questions to the dialogue. In order to give this section a more conversational flow, these extra questions are added, but they may also refer back to some information you stated in Part 2. In other words, the examiner will take a mental note of some facts or examples you mentioned in the long turn and then build on them in Part 3. Examiners are required to add extra questions for this section. It's the only part of the exam that is not 100% entirely scripted. Speaking Hack 9. It's not all about you, especially Part 3. Okay, guys, for Part 3, you must talk about people in general or society as a whole. If you try to discuss your views, the examiner should attempt to guide you back to discussing the topic from a broader perspective. Part 3 is never focused on the candidate's personal experiences. Rather, it concentrates on issues related to society, community, and the bigger picture. For instance, a test taker might be questioned on how the internet is changing the way we communicate. In turn, the candidate responds, "In my case, I use Skype to talk with my friends and family since I'm overseas." The examiner should then course correct this test taker. But how has society in general changed by communicating using the internet? So remember, guys, for Part 3, you need to talk about community or society in general. Speaking Hack 10. Know the 4 speaking band descriptors. While these band descriptors may not be new to you, it's worth reviewing them just to be clear on how you're going to be assessed. First, we have fluency and coherence. Are your ideas flowing from one to another? Are you using linking expressions and subordinate clauses? Next, we have lexical resource or vocabulary. Are you substituting various words, using expressions, paraphrasing? Are you using figures of speech? This will all fall under lexical resource, or LR. Third, we have grammar, or GRA. Are you using the correct verb tenses? Are you employing complex and compound sentences, or just simple sentences? This will all fall under grammar. And finally, we have pronunciation. Is your pronunciation easy to understand? Are you applying stress in the correct areas of your sentences? Is your voice rising and falling in the correct places? So guys, you can see it's not just a matter of showing up for the speaking exam. You need to have an understanding of each part of the test and these band descriptors. These 10 hacks will help you cut through the speaking exam with confidence.